overpaid people like me, and we do a great job putting all the policy together over the next 9 months while they an executive director. That goes from September almost for a year. They finally find somebody who actually thinks he or she knows something about this topic as politically acceptable. So in the summer of 2012, there's an executive director who basically doesn't get along with any of the people who've been doing all the analysis and the work for the last 12 months. And so that all gets reorganized, right? That's the kind of politics you get even in a blue state. And then the third element that's really dangerous, I think, is Congress gave the states 3.5 years to do this. If, like Governor Kasich, they'd only given them 3.5 days, they probably could have done it in a matter of months. But this is kind of Murphy's Law. It wasn't done to give people a chance to implement. It was done, obviously, to delay the budgetary impact. But it has been very enervating. So the consequence is we have some exchanges that are not in great shape for 2014. Hopefully most of them will make it, with, as the president has put it, a few glitches. But, you know, it helps to think about them in terms of sort of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Right? I mean, this is a long-term project. This doesn't end October 2013. It ends probably, hopefully it keeps going for years and years. And so, basically, if you remember this from your high school psychology, there's a series of needs. Makes a lot of sense. You start with the physiological needs. Things like breathing, food, water, of course, sex and sleep, which none of the exchange people are getting these days. Homeostasis, I actually don't know what that is. Excretion, which I think those of you who work in Washington are probably familiar with. And then you move on to safety and, you know, physical security. I remember actually when the mandate in Massachusetts was about to go into effect, we trooped over to the Department of Revenue in Massachusetts, and they have these metal detectors, and you can't get past the gate without, you know, without somebody coming in escorting you and so forth. And we had a secret code. We had a button in our elevator. You had to know which floor to push. That was our security system. So so then we put in a code, but nobody at the connector could remember the code. We were always really stuck in the elevator. But, you know, that's definitely a need, security. And so I won't go through all this, but you can see. So with these exchanges, clearly, as one executive director put it, when asked, what do you hope for in October 2014, 2013, to be able to turn on the lights, was the answer. They're just looking to make basic needs. And if they can provide timely, accurate functionality information, that'll be, frankly, that'll be huge success. And one way or another, most of them will do that. They're supposed to be financially self-sustaining by 2015. And hopefully by 2016 or so, we'll actually have some data that says they enrolled a whole bunch of people. We actually will not know. There'll be huge pressure. On October 2nd, MSNBC and Fox and everybody else will be asking all these people, so how many people have you enrolled? But we won't know really any decent data about expansion of enrollment until the survey data comes out probably in 2016. There's lots of proxies, but we certainly created them in Massachusetts. We celebrated just about everything we could think of before we got real data. And then, you know, esteem and self-actualization. I think esteem is going to be this cost-containment stuff. I think when you do close off the exit of just throwing people on the uninsured rolls, then you're going to have to confront in those states a real cost-containment dilemma as we have in Massachusetts. So. I'm not that pessimistic. I think 2014 is a shakeout period. You know, the folks who have trouble are mostly low income, have trouble. You know, if you're a small business, you're not going to have to use the exchange. Most small businesses won't. If you need the exchange because you're getting subsidy, you know, with voting patterns the way they are in this country, you're not talking about a huge number of the electorate. I'm actually a little less worried about the exchange functionality in the impact on November 2014. I'm much more worried about the unknown. Somebody just spoke about the impact of the unknown. So I'm going to give you one example just to end on a particularly scary note. So this is a change in overall market rating practices. You will not find this really anywhere in the ACA, but CMS has come up with regulations back in February about individual rating in the small group market. Basically converts the small group rating practice into individual ratings. So every member of the employee's family, his or her age and other rating, allowable rating factors go into determining that small employer's rating, premium rate. So I'm going to take Massachusetts as an example because we already have guaranteed issue, guaranteed renewal, adjusted community rating, etc. And we have in our rating, current rating formula, location of the employer. That's allowable. That remains unchanged in CMS, new rating rules. The age rating factors actually change a little bit, but not a big deal. But there's a whole bunch of things that are eliminated. You know, whether you're a hair salon and you're rated up 10%, or you're an actuarial firm and you're rated, or a law firm and you're rated down 10% is a good risk. Group size, whether one person out of 50 participates or 50 people out of 50, all these things are eliminated. And since the time is up, I'm going to give you the bottom line here. So because of these changes, and mainly because of individual rating, here's what happens to two companies, two small firms in Massachusetts on 2014. One is a blue hair salon. Right? They're rock rib Democrats, so we can count on their votes. They already offer gold level benefits. They have three employees age 40, three spouses age 35, one child each. Their industry code, because their hair salon is 1.1, so they get an extra 10% rate. So they're rated in 2013 at $1,100 per person per month. On the right, we have a Republican PR firm. And they have gold benefits and three employees age 40, but their spouses are 45, they each have three children, and they're in a very good industry, so they've got a 10% benefit in 2013. That's eliminated for 2014. Their rate goes from $900 to $1,280. No change in benefits, no change in, you know, this is assumed zero trend. They just get a 42% rate increase. Unintended consequences of imposing a national rating system on various local markets. And you're not going to hear from the blue hair salon if you're running in 2014. Boy, are you going to hear from the Republican PR firm. 2014, and that's what makes me most nervous. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation to be here. These are interesting times, as the Chinese proverb says. I'm in a state that's doing nothing, but we're really busy doing nothing. Really busy. And Andy Allison, I always hate it when I have to be in a meeting. I'm reminded of what we used to have in Kansas when he was helping us. We started out, we were one of seven early innovator states. Go figure. And like Wisconsin. In fact, the day we were told to send our money back, Ted Nickel, the commissioner of Wisconsin, called to chuckle about it because they'd already done that in Wisconsin. And here we are trying to figure out how we're going to retain some state authority and ability to regulate in a federally facilitated exchange. I mean, it is a bit ironic that the states that are the reddest are the ones that have advocated the responsibility to federally facilitated exchange. I don't think it has anything to do with not wanting to have a state-based exchange. I think if everyone was really intellectually honest about it, I think they would say, well, sure, we want to run the exchange ourselves. It's all about trying to not have this Affordable Care Act succeed and not doing anything to help it succeed. So that's really what we're dealing with, and it makes it hard to have a really honest discussion about what's happening. The other dynamic that's going on is there's still this notion that somehow we can repeal the law. And but you know, I don't hear much about repeal and replace anymore, because what do you replace it with? The Affordable Care Act was the conservative approach to reforming the market. And so there is nothing else out there. I think the ultimate irony will be when down the road states say 2 or 3 years, well, maybe we would like to pull that federal exchange back. The federal government says, you know, this is working pretty well. We'll just keep doing it. And maybe we'll roll in a few more. And maybe those state Medicaid programs that have to be on the federal exchange in an effort to be more uniform, we'll start making some changes to some of those state Medicaid programs. And before you know it, we have what the other side of the coin wants, which is the single payer system, because the feds have decided we can do this. We'll use large companies as the TPAs. We'll dole out the money at the federal level. So, you know, that to me is the ultimate irony in states kind of abdicating their responsibilities here. But in spite of the fact that Kansas will be a federally facilitated exchange, we have taken a little bit different approach. And that is, in looking at those, there are five core functions of an exchange: plan management, consumer assistance, eligibility, enrollment, and the financing. And eligibility and enrollment really is traditional Medicaid kind of. State insurance regulators don't do anything in the way of eligibility from an income standpoint. But all along, the core functions that reside in state insurance departments are plan management, approving the plans to function in your market, and consumer assistance. We have people that answer the phones when folks call in. And Alice, to your question earlier today, we're really nervous about what happens when people finally realize that most vulnerable population. And in Kansas, it's between 36% of the federal poverty level and 100% that will have no coverage if Kansas doesn't expand Medicaid. Childless adults, nothing. Adults with children, 36% of the federal poverty level. And we're real concerned about the kinds of calls that we are going to get. But, so we've got, there are three options for these exchanges: the federally facilitated, the partnership, and then these quasi-partnership. And you don't want to say you're a partnership state in a state like mine, because then they'll try to figure out some way to shut us down and not allow us to do some of those functions. But we are still going to be able to do the plan management function, and we are still going to be able to do consumer assistance. So let me talk about just some of the reforms that will occur, and you're all aware of them, after January 1st, 2014. Now, some of these plans, if a plan's in existence now, you know, we move to calendar year enrollment periods after 2014, but prior to, so into 2014, some of those plans that are already in existence don't have to make the change until their next enrollment period. But for the most part, these reforms have to be in place. So you have to have guaranteed issue, you have to have the adjusted community rating, and a single risk pool for the individual market and a single risk pool for the small group market. And then the essential health benefits and those cost sharing activities must meet certain actuarial levels. I think probably the biggest concern that state regulators will have to deal with is the issue of adverse selection, and especially initially if we don't get the information out. And oh, by the way, when we were an early innovator state and we put our budget together, we had budgeted $10 million for outreach and enrollment activities, publicizing these exchanges. We've been told that we'll get $600,000 in this new grant money that's been called together to try and assist states. And we have a group, a coalition of consumer groups in Kansas, and we've joined the coalition. We're not leading the effort, because I know I'd be told I can't do that, but we've joined the coalition to at least make sure Kansas does have some money to use for outreach and enrollment. So, but we're very concerned if we don't, especially don't get the young, healthy folks in, if they don't know about it, don't know about the benefit that they might derive from going on the exchange and seeing what kind of subsidy they'd be eligible for, that we will have adverse selection, and the concern there is that'll contribute to the overall cost of the plans. As I said, there is an adjusted community rating. So for the small group and the non-group markets, the ratings based no longer can be based on health issues. I think that's probably the most popular. You can't be, people that need insurance most have not been able to buy it in our current individual market, with a couple of state exceptions. the maximum age variation is 3 to 1. And, you know, when the law was being debated, and I went before a couple of